Is that the E, Frank?
Well, yeah, I don't have a 1701 animated, so.
They should release. Yeah, why didn't Eagle Moss ever do an animated model?
Well, let's call them up and ask them.
Slight problem. They got shut down about a year ago. Anyway, hello everyone, and welcome to Star Trek Trek Trek, our ongoing adventure through the episodes of Star Trek in various orders that we choose as deemed fit. This week we are watching the Lorelei Signal from the animated series first season. I am joined by Messieurs Frank. We are here with Walt Koenig. Not the Walt Koenig, but a Walt Koenig, certainly. And Cranky is with us yet again. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Sam Higdon says, do you consider TAS canon? Yes, it is. Authorized by the high gods themselves over at CBS, it has been decreed that TAS is canon.
Yeah, I'd like to shoot it out of a cannon.
I think with it being canon, I think there's
Giant Spock, inflatable Enterprise and all. It's all in there. Lower Decks has referenced it numerous times now.
Get some interesting alien species that you see appearing, Edosians and stuff like that.
Yeah, Cations. So yes, this was written by this episode, The Lorelei Signal, was written by Margaret Armon, who also wrote The Gamesters of Triskelion, The Paradise Syndrome, and The Cloudminders. But we're seeing the very clear inspiration here. Sirens, The Odyssey, am I right? Yeah, it's very heavily influenced. But guys, what did you think of this episode? Who wants to throw their opinion into the void first?
It was certainly an episode.
It was 20 minutes of your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's the animated series is what it is. It's a funky little Star Trek watch.
I think, I've watched a few of the TAS episodes. This one I hadn't watched before, actually. But by far not the worst. There's some more cheesy, hard to watch stuff on from TAS. Uhura got stuff to do.
She did.
Probably actually more to do than she got for most of the original series. Chapel got something to do.
I mentioned this in the watch along, but we were talking about how, you know, now in context of Strange New Worlds, seeing Uhura and Chapel on Strange New Worlds later seasons, how this actually seems a bit more relatable to those characters than this one. Why wasn't Sam says, why wasn't Chekhov in TAS? I don't know. He did write an episode.
There was some rights thing or something. Yeah. That wasn't there. I can't remember. Yeah.
I think wasn't there also a thing about they only paid certain actors to do the voices?
They weren't going to bring him back.
The original Walt Koenig did actually come back on, and he wrote an episode of TAS. I forget which one it is, but it's one at some point in the future. But yeah, they didn't have the budget for it. Frank, what did you think?
It is essentially, for anybody that's ever read comic books, this was a mid-crappy episode of a Star Trek comic book come to life. And it wasn't bad. I've certainly watched worse Trek. And knowing that it's the animated series going into it, it could be better. It's got funny moments that I'll meme about and just like sing to open my door.
Yeah. The point where Spock accurately recreates the to open is like, yes, it's like, I am superior Vulcan intellect. I can sound like anything I want. Like, I didn't realize that Spock's range was that high, because considering in the musical Subspace Rhapsody, he has quite the baritone.
Well, he had to justify the musician trait in Star Trek Timelines. Hot game, available today for download in various app stores.
Don't listen to his lies. It is not a game.
No.
Sam, explain. Did you hear the story about what happened to what Leonard Nimoy did to get Sulu and Uhura on TAS? This feels like a setup for a joke. What did Leonard Nimoy do to get Uhura and Sulu on TAS? I didn't think it was as bad as it's going to be. Like, you kind of get the idea that when there's going to be, a set of sirens lure the men in, and it's all going to be, you know, especially when Shatner's involved, you think there's going to be some kind of, like, drill. And I think if this was a live action, if this was TOS, if this was, like, the original series, there would have definitely been a bit more Kirk in command. I don't think Uhura would have got the spotlight at all.
He would have seduced his way out of the situation.
Yeah. Spock using his ingenuity as normal.
To be fair, if you think about it, it had most of the, if you did the Star Trek bingo, it ticked a lot of those boxes. You've got some definite lines there. It had scantily clad beautiful women. It had improbable science sort of at the end to try and make it repair everything and make it all better. It had some weird alien, well, it wasn't a device, but something that happened, something that happened to make everyone behave that way. It had a probe, it had people behaving oddly that no one could quite understand. So, you know, get that Star Trek bingo card going. In a couple of lines there.
Well, apparently Nimoy threatened not to do Taz if Sulu and Uhura were not on Taz, because production did not want Sulu and Uhura on Taz. Well, now she got her own episode. Well, that was good. Yeah, it's good.
Production just wanted Marjal Barrett and Jimmy Doohan to do all the voices.
But no, it was good to see, like, she actually, you know, and she's fair, Uhura is really assertive in this episode. As soon as, like, something goes wrong, like, they've gone down to the planet. Has the crew gone mad? Let's go check them all. Let's get all the women and check all this. Like, she's got a hunch, she checks it, she's right, and she just goes, no, I'm taking command of the ship. This is my ship now. And then goes onto the planet and just goes, I hate vases. I'm going to shoot all the vases.
Shoot all the vases. I think it's the only time Uhura takes full command of the Enterprise ever.
Yeah.
So far.
It'll
happen in Strange New Worlds. I'd bet a dollar.
I think it probably might happen. She'll probably end up.
I think that'll get retconned, but I think as things stand.
Yeah.
Mm. So we had that. We had the whole scene of them going down and sort of taking out the Fembots. And a very kind of, I think it's probably one of TAS's most iconic scenes is like this episode. This one and Spock Amok. The one where he goes back into the past and meets himself, the very classic episode, which name I have forgotten. But this one and that one are probably the two TAS episodes that everyone kind of remembers, mostly because this is the Uhura kicks ass episode. Like, Uhura and Chapel on a planet and they didn't bring enough guns.
But, yeah, Rev DeMar's right as well. Chapel does get a lot more scenes in TAS.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Harry Mudd episode where it's basically her episode. It's her and Mudd, isn't it?
Hmm. It's a very good one. Okay, question for you. This isn't a question because I'm gonna. Oh yes, dear. Thank you, Sam. This isn't really a question because I'm gonna tell you the question and the answer straight away. But we start this one last time, and I had the same problem last time with Where No Man Has Gone Before. Who's what other Trek cast could have pulled off this story episode? I asked that question. However, this one has been done by another Trek a cast. And this exact same episode was actually in a Star Trek Voyager episode called Favorite Son, where Harry Kim gets conned by some space siren, taken down to the planet he's convinced he's part of their race, and then they suck his life energy.
Kim, isn't it?
Yes.
He's in the game, isn't he? He's in the timelines. Teresian Kim,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he is... it's exactly the same episode. The only thing they don't do is solve it via a transporter or convincing them to... just shooting all their vases until they go, okay, it's fine, we'll stop.
It's got. I mean, I've recently been doing a rewatch of Enterprise as well, and I've just watched Bound.
Yeah,
And it's very much
These are very much Orions, aren't they?
He's there for the got the pheromones going on, making them behave irrationally.
That's the word of the day: is secretion.
The glandular secretion.
I laugh. What did we learn? What do you think when they were writing this episode, they think? Because usually Star Trek, and especially TOS, it always has a little bit of a moral story about it. Like, I'm trying to... Like, there are some episodes which are just kind of fun, and maybe this one can kind of fit into summer with a Homer obsession, maybe decided they were going to do their spin on the Simpsons. No, on the Odyssey. Getting the wrong Homer there. Can you subscribe a moral value to this? And is it something along the lines of don't... Is it on the 60s, 70s philosophy of, oh yeah, women can kick ass and with a funk soundtrack and a guitar?
This was very much, hey, look, women can be important too.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, women are can be beautiful, but also can save the day.
You know? It felt a little bit like that, you know. I suppose that's what storytelling has progressed quite a lot recently. That it's we still struggle to this day with it. But in terms of like the actual structure of the episode, I didn't think it was too bad. It was a plot point that wasn't copied from the Odyssey, they had this side of the crew, and a kind of a Star Trek solution is this side of the genetic structure isn't X, so use Y part of this problem. So it's fairly traditional, but I am thinking that maybe now is time to think about what were your best and worst moments of this episode. Do we have best and worst moments? It's kind of hard with these smaller episodes because there's only 20 minutes. Not a lot happens. Oh no, I already know my best moment actually. But I will hand over to Frank. Best and worst moments, please.
So I don't want to steal anybody else's because I know a couple of points because it was such a small episode. So there's going to be very few things. I will say Jimmy Doohan just singing.
Literally just stole the one.
Well, the Enterprise so slowly comes across the screen.
That must have been about 3 minutes of just Jimmy Doohan just singing as the Enterprise going.
And he's in command at that point. He's in the chair, and everybody else on the ship's like, well, I mean, he's got that broadcasting out to the whole ship. He's like, I want you to hear this, and he does it. And so that popped me. And it's great to see any kind of like old Jimmy Doohan stuff like that, because he was always in the movies and in the TV show. He was always very curt. He was very, his role, and he was the engineer and blast it, so that it was nice to see that. Worst, I'm going to say I no longer believed it was a true story when decrepit old men were able to climb up in a giant vase and get into it and not fall down and break their decrepit hips, and an army of fastly running silhouetted women did not see them slowly fall in geriatrically into a giant vase and instead go, where could they have gone? They're going so slow and we're going so fast. And here's a container right here. I no longer believed it's a true story at that point.
It does feel that, but that bit does feel very TOS though. It feels like, right, we just need this really cheap prop to hide behind. Yeah. And then we're just going to get stuck in it for no real good reason other than plot contrivance. Okay, Cranky, best worst moments.
I think, I was trying to think about it, and it's hard to pick moments when there's not particularly moments in this in TAS. It is what it is. It just drifts along. I think the best moment is the one that made me giggle twice, because it happened at least twice, was the woman singing, making the weird noise to open the door.
tonal control, they called it, didn't they? They can apparently use their tonal control to hijack starships. Like, that's the technology that's going to bring down the Federation. It's not going to be the burn. It's going to be the fucking tonal control.
Tonal control. Total tonal control. Mm. Worst moment. I don't know. I don't know if there is a worst moment. It's all on the same level through the episode.
It's a very cromulent episode.
Yeah. I don't know what that word means, but I'm saying, yeah.
It's a very good word. You should look it up.
Cromulent.
Cromulent.
Go to what? I'll think of a word. I'll try and think
of a word. All right. Well, go for yours.
I think, as Rev DeMars put in chat, I think, there is only, it's a Uhura shining moment. I think that's, the time that, we get to really sort of be a badass of any sort for. All 2009, so I think that has to be like the highlight, really. Low point, just probably that crappy pseudoscience bit with a brought at the end just to de-age everybody.
I mean, they did do it in that the Pulaski episode, didn't they? Like, it's they end up redoing that. So
I've blocked out all them Pulaski episodes. I can't remember what I actually happened. I might do a bit of a rewatch on that season two of TNG. But yeah, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, as we said, it's bad enough that the science of the transporter anyway, but then when you're the age of one using it, it's almost as bad as putting someone in two and a flower or something. But yeah.
okay. my best worst? I don't know. I'm kind of with you, Cranky, a little bit. This is kind of like a flat, like, this isn't bad. It's not great, but it's not amazing. Like, I love the bit where Spock was suddenly able to sing at the door. Like, he walks into the room and all of a sudden you hear, oh, and you think, oh, the woman's got behind him. No, that's Spock. His wonderful low baritone he established in Subspace Rhapsody has now been replaced with a wonderful falsetto. You know, he can now breach that, do that tonal control.
He's got the full range.
Yeah.
He's a man of many talents.
He can go hypersonic. He can attract dogs from any point in the quadrant.
As you get older, your voice goes, your register goes higher. So,
yeah, that's true. Spock, and when you see him in unification, it's like, hello, Captain Picard, I'm here to negotiate with the Romulans. What's that? Why am I British now? Well, never mind. I found that quite funny. I think like best. I mean, the best moment if Fault hadn't picked it would have been just the fact that Uhura, you know, they gave Uhura and Chapel like a good commanding leading role. So it's nice to that was a cool thing. Worst moment, yeah, I'm gonna also go with the jug because that was the bit that kind of made me go, what happened there? okay, we need a rating criterion. Since Stars is not here this week, would anyone like to suggest how many what out of what to put in the category?
Gentlemen, I offer to you how many delicious and succulent glandular secretions yes. out of 10 would you give the Lorelei signal?
Delicious and succulent glandular secretions. Word of the day. There it is. Get a point for saying it. Walt, give me your rating out of 10.
What's the scoring been for like the other Taz episodes?
I mean, you rate it. I would say don't compare it to others. You rate it how you feel right now. But I'll give you an example. Like of an average, one of our planets missing was a 4.6. Beyond the Father Star, 5.7. Yesteryear was an 8.5. So it's kind of all over. If you know, I'd say.
I think I would go. You know, obviously, you have to sort of get. I think you do have to sort of look at it as a episode. I'd say a 6. I'd go a solid 6.
You go a solid 6. I agree with that. That's pretty good. Cranky.
Yeah, I was thinking about a 6, maybe a 6.5. It's very much a Star Trek episode. It's got all the hallmarks. It's not great, but it's not bad. There's worse episodes. So I think I'm going to go with a 6.5 delicious and succulent glandular secretions.
Frank?
When I was a kid, whenever I had to do something or go somewhere that I didn't like or I didn't want, whether it be doctor's office or church or what have you, grandmother's house, it always was just better when it was over quickly. And I can say for this episode, it was over quickly. And I am very appreciative of that. So for that, I'm going to bump it up a little bit. And I will give it 6.2 succulent glandular secretions.
What was it before?
It was going to be a 4.9.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I suppose that's the nice things about these Taz episodes. You know, they are what they are. They're 20 minutes long, so they're not like... If there's any Star Trek fans out there that say, like, I've never watched Taz, and you want to get into it, and be like they're 20-minute episodes, you can watch, like, three of them and go to bed or whatever and just take them in. Get that little Star Trek hit to say, like, if you're like me, a completionist, just kind of go, like, let's watch them and get it done. And then you don't need to anymore.
The thing I found is it's quite good to have on in the background when you're doing something. Like, for example, for those of us who still play Star Trek Timelines, you can, whilst you're playing an event, tapping away, you're not really paying that much attention, but you've got a little bit of Star Trek to just keep you going in the background. It works.
It does indeed work. I'm also going to go with a 6.5. I think this fits perfectly in that little mold of like a fine Star Trek episode. It's not, it doesn't break ground. It's not amazing. There's some stupid little things with it, but it's overall, it's all right for Taz, for sort of the black sheep of the Star Trek family. I think it's generally all right. Sam Higdon in chat also gives it a 6.5. It has a scale of Code of Honor to City on the Edge of Forever. That's a good rating. So hopefully we'll have the similar kind of rating by the time we're done with all these. We'll be able to say what is definitively the worst episode of Star Trek and what is definitively the best episode of Star Trek. So, and we may have to fight out the various ties, but...
we all know what the best one is.
Oh, go on.
SNW with the Lower Decks.
Oh, crew. Yeah. That got us... That got 10 out of 10s from all of us pretty much overall. Yeah. But for those who want to keep track, so far now, Star Trek is up to a 5.8. We think Star Trek is 5.8. Great Birds of the Galaxy.
Not bad for Star Trek fans.
But to be fair, so far in our ratings, we've watched a lot of bad episodes, so we can only kind of go up from here. But thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next Star Trek Trek, which I think should be where no one has gone before. And we'll see you then. Frank, Walt, Cranky, thank you for joining us. See you then later. And ta-ra.